We're back today to speak to Bob, Bill, and Robert. Today we will be talking about emailing. During this interview, we would like to learn more about their experience with typical challenges for students and business clients with regard to emailing in an international project environment. Gentlemen, do you believe there are typical or classic errors that are made in an email and informal writing in international business communications with your clients and students? Bob, would you like to start?
Of course. I don't think there are typical or classical errors as such. I think it is really going to be a reflection of the organizational culture, which to me trumps business culture in terms of expectation of written communication. Microsoft pushed to have a messaging service introduced that nobody liked. Other organizations want to have an email culture, but people feel at times a bit awkward with email, so they'll call somebody up instead. So it does mean that there are not so many classical errors that can come up. Where they can come up, as Bill mentioned previously in another day, no greetings. Sometimes it's the little things of respect that can come up. No greetings or not being clear on what is the follow-up, which again comes down to what was the point of the email.
Okay. And Bill, do you agree with Bob?
Yeah, especially with the impolite comment. I regularly now have German clients that bitterly complain about Americans that don't know them, either using their first name or worse, no name. And I call that taking for granted. So just assuming it's totally okay to be extremely informal where that's just not done in the culture. As also Bob mentioned, not IDing the purpose for the communication or maybe an outcome either way. Also, what's very important is often, I don't believe this is necessarily Anglo, but there's a lack of reciprocity. That means if you ask somebody for a favor or you do something, they have the right to assume that you would return that favor. And sometimes that's not done. But going back to Americans for a moment, I believe Americans have become surprisingly insensitive in the emails. I say that because I'm a Canadian. I have a lot of experience with Americans. I've worked with Americans since the 1980s. I don't believe they were so before. But emails are very short, very abrupt. And so no greeting, for example, I find as a Canadian, quite impolite, quite rude. Expecting the focus to be on the other party, in this case, on, say, the American writing an email, when that maybe isn't the case. You're asking for a favor. The focus should be on the other party, not yourself. And also, maybe it's simply a misunderstanding between cultures, but appearing insincere. So saying, hope you're great, but when they say, no, whatever, my dog just died, and not making a response to that, for example. Also, though, having lived with and worked for many years with Germans, I also see some other areas. So, for example, for Germans, really, they need to recognize using please and thank you means nothing about being polite or making pleasant requests. We, in English or in Canada, we call them filler words. It's just something that goes at the end. The rest of the communication, what comes in between, is what's really important. From a grammar aspect that way, I always advise clients, use modal verbs. Could you please? Would you do? Modal verbs make things much, much friendlier.
Thank you. Robert, in your experience with your clients, do you believe that there are typical errors in email writing?
Yes. Sorry, to come back to what Bob was saying, that generally people use email as, let's say, the wrong tool for the job. So yes, you can eat your soup with a fork, but it's the wrong tool for a job. And I've been in organizations where they use email for everything inappropriately. Of the email itself, often people don't begin with the purpose of the email. So often people will read right down to the bottom of the email and go, oh, goodness me, I didn't need to do anything with that. Or there will be no clear action points at the end. And so it's a dead communication because presumably the purpose of communicating in a business context is ultimately to do something. And often with no action point, you're not doing anything, which is a waste of everyone's valuable time.
Right. And actually, what I would like to add here is that this is not just an intercultural problem, but when I look at my clients' German emails, they have the same problem. Very often, there's no purpose in the email. There's no action point at the end. Sometimes they're very direct and even rude from a German perspective. So I find with effective email writing, it doesn't only refer to different cultures, but within one culture, there's also challenges.
Can I add to that?
Of course.
That's what I mentioned with organizational culture trumping at times. I've worked with German companies who sometimes choose to use English as their email language because they find that they're more relaxed and willing to make mistakes because they see email as a short, sweet, and effective form of communication. Whereas some other companies, let's say more traditional German companies, they like to see email as a way to summarize Goethe-style emails. So we've got 17 pages and you don't know what they want. So you've got to analyze it.
Yeah.
So the organizational culture trumps in this case.
Yes. Also, this comes back to the wrong tool for the wrong job. So they'll have a great big long conversation in the email which solves the problem with the subject heading problem solved. And you have to go deep sea diving about 50 meters to find out what somebody was talking about when the answer was, yes, that's a great idea. And instead it should be somewhere else on a wiki or on a forum or a blog or some other medium, not email.
Not email.
That's for sure.
Yes. Next, I would like to speak about expectations for a little bit. In your experience, which cultures have similar expectations when it comes to written communication, which have different expectations? Do you see, what are the differences that you can see in email writing? Bill, would you like to start?
Yeah, that's actually a tough one because I don't know that there's universal similarities, but I think it is reasonably safe to say Anglos all have reasonably similar expectations about, we'll say, appropriateness and inappropriateness. What you can say, what you can't say, how you can ask for something, etc. I think sometimes some of the expectations are geographical. You know, you could argue that, well, Germans tell me the Austrians are very different, but yet you could argue that the Germans and Austrians can communicate in a similar manner, directness or otherwise, and it's acceptable, or for example, with the Swiss population. But I believe that individuals are often different, or as we heard from Bob, organizations might have different expectations or rules. And so that's sometimes a little bit hard. But I do believe that language has a lot to do with how an individual lives, and that is influenced in how they interact with others.
Absolutely. Robert, what would you like to add?
I'd like to add that it was the... So similar cultures, of course, will have similar expectations. So as when I do my intercultural training parts, I group cultures into their transparent cultures where it's easy to see or it's explicit what somebody would like from that culture, and rapport-based cultures where the relationship is paramount. And between these two, so relationship building for rapport-based cultures is the key point, and that will be into the email. There'll be more small talk in the email. There'll be more, let's say, greetings, and as Bill said, more modals, certainly. Whereas with the transparent cultures, it will be down to business. Where this is what I want, this is when I want it, and there are no mistakes on what the product is.
Yes.
Certainly, that's what I have found.
Okay, thank you.
I would add that, yes, cultural influences are definitely there. Central European cultures, for my taste, definitely focus on the correctness of an email or a written communication far much more than what Anglo-Saxon cultures will do. We're much more forgiving of small mistakes. And to give a small anecdote to this, I had a huge discussion with one of my clients a couple of weeks ago because she was completely upset and angry that there was no one clear rule about commas in English, and that has to happen so that emails can have the right commas all the time. Now, I would argue that's already non-effective communication anymore when one spends more time thinking about the commas and less about the point.
Okay, thank you. If you were to give three important tips to Germans in how to write an effective email in English, what would they be? Robert, what would a tip be that you would give a German student?
When I do my email writing, I divide the email into three parts. Why are you writing? And usually the easiest way in is to say, I'm writing to, and then your active verb, I'm writing to present the data, I'm writing to request the information, and so on. And then I would give them the information, the details in the middle, and then the action point at the end. And throughout this, you're using active verbs and not focusing on nouns, but rather verbs, which is to do things. That's how I deliver my email work.
Okay. Bob, what's a tip that you would give a German student?
I would certainly go with, don't forget the purpose of the email. Don't get lost in another purpose. Again, another point, reread your email. Just take 5 minutes, go and have a cup of coffee, tea break, come back, read it again. You'll see things that you won't see otherwise. And lastly, be respectful, always have a small greeting, but the KISS principle of engineering, keep it simple and stupid. Bullet points. They're there for a reason. Short sentences. You want to make sure that the communication is clear. It's not a novel that you're writing.
Yes, as I say, it's not literature you're writing, sadly. It's something that somebody's going to read once and then act on it.
Yes. Bill, what is your number one tip for German students?
I'll give all three because they're really short.
Yeah.
And they in line up. First of all, yeah, use a line of small talk at the beginning. Sets a polite tone. Second, it was mentioned already, use modal verbs. It makes life a lot more comfortable when you're requesting things. And make sure that you've stated what the next step or the purpose of an action is so that people know what's expected as an outcome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Can any one of you briefly describe a situation in which lack of knowledge of proper email writing conventions led to misunderstanding and miscommunication?
I can throw one out there just briefly.
Okay.
From last week, dealing with cricketing circles. An English colleague answered an email, didn't say hello, no greeting, and didn't say goodbye. So for me, that's some of the basics, but he didn't do it. And his Indian colleagues were a bit offended. But then when the Indian colleagues wrote back, they wrote BR for best regards, which to some others, if you're going to say goodbye properly. BR can often be seen as a sign of disrespect.
Okay. Robert, I think you had another example as well.
My story is when I was working at an advisory company, then one of the main uses for emails was to send transaction advice emails to clients. So instead of the posted letter, it would be an email of a few hundred words to give the transaction advice. And the through being too tentative, it was they were using modal so much and passive so much that actually it was impossible to know what the subject was, what the purpose was, and because in advisory circles, of course, you risk yourself if you recommend a course of action and they follow it, then there are legal consequences to that. And so you do have to be careful to a degree, but this was so extreme that really it was a pointless exercise. So that was my story. So you do ultimately have to say something mm-hmm. with your message.
Okay, thank you. Bill, do you have an example as well?
Yeah, I had a German banking client a number of years ago that was communicating with New York, and it was, as we're all familiar with, a series of emails, a long chain about the same subject. And all of the emails were reasonably short from both ends, the German and the American, but the German failed to recognize that the email was escalating in regards to a conflict. And quite quickly there was from the German side phrases like, I told you last week, or why haven't you yet done this? And in the end, what ended up happening was, of course, the boss was CC'd. And you always know things have become bad when somebody wasn't originally included in the CC and they were added. For, in this case, the German, they would have been, because if we're talking about emails that went over 8 or 9 days, the German would have been much wiser to at some point pick up the phone and say, we don't seem to be able to clarify what's happening. Could you please explain? Blah, blah, blah. But in the end, what became evident, because I saw the entire chain of emails, we worked on fixing these types of errors, it appeared that Munich was blaming New York for all the difficulties, and in reality, Munich wasn't trying to do that, and New York wasn't at fault, and they weren't explaining why something couldn't be done. And so I think it's very important, if something can't be done, it's important to offer what you can do. And that didn't occur from, in this case, from the German end. So it's important not to just say, no, it can't be done, but say what can be done.
Oh, absolutely. I quite agree. I've had many conversations with even can we meet on Monday? No. How about Tuesday? No. How about Wednesday? No. Okay, when can we? And so focus on the positive.
So focus on a solution.
On the solution.
Yes. Yeah. Always present solutions.
So is there anything else that you would like to add to the topic of email writing? Anything else you find important?
As I've said earlier, email is the perfect tool for sending documents around the globe. That's basically all it does. If you're too afraid to telephone somebody, as with Bill's example, because of language skills or whatever, then that's something that needs addressing, I would say. If you say to yourself, I'm too scared to talk to somebody in this language, even though I know the written version, then that's something that would need addressing, I would say, to be a functioning manager.
Bob, anything you would like to add?
Get to know the organizational culture of who you're working with. To me, that trumps the nationalities, that trumps the international, the cultures of you're working with. Your organization might be short, sweet emails. Some others, emails are almost like formal business letters. So know where you stand in that case. And many companies, they don't know themselves what is the purpose of an email. Is it should it be for quick informal communication? Should it be for formal communication? As I mentioned previously, Microsoft introduced the use of a messaging system because people were scared to write an email. So they used messaging instead. And for others, that's kind of the point of an email, is to write a quick message like that. Lastly, I would add as a tip, generalizations are not always true, but they can help. If you're going to establish a new contact with someone, do a bit of research on the internet. There's plenty of stuff out there. And then when you're establishing the contact, show respect first, see how they lead, take it from there, and stress less. Mistakes will happen, but forgive yourself and forgive the others. Stress less about it.
Thank you very much. I think this was very interesting to listen to your ideas and your experience about emailing, and we will hear more from you in the next unit.